Is it on the top of your picture?
This is great stuff. Have you heard some of this?
Apollo 8, this is Houston.
Usually shows up in documentaries.
It's a picture of the horizon. We can't see many terrain features as yet.
There's a very new bright impact crater. Should be in the field of view now.
Apollo 8, first trip around the moon. Everyone knows 11 because of the landing, but no 11 without 8.
Hey, Bill, how would you describe the color of the moon from here?
The color of the moon looks a very whitish gray, like dirty beach sand.
I got to thinking about the moon the other day, saw it out the window, thought, what is it doing up there?
Roger.
So let's talk about it, because I've got questions. Yeah, the moon. Mike here, by the way. Hey, how are ya? It's always there, either a sort of sliver or bright and full. I am a fan. The moon is our friend. And so is our moon expert.
Sure. So I'm Paul Hain, and I'm an assistant professor at the University of Colorado Boulder, where I study planetary science.
All right, couple things, I guess, to start. Yeah, do we know how it got there? And another way of saying that is also, do we know why we have the thing?
Right. Yeah, it's not at all a given that our planet would have a moon. And in fact, you know, Earth is one of four of the rocky planets in our solar system. And we're the only one that has a big moon, big meaning relative to the planet's size.
Mars, for instance, two tiny ones, more like captured asteroids.
We do know how Earth got its moon. And the current leading theory is that there was an impact between a Mars-sized protoplanet, meaning a planet that hadn't quite reached its full potential as a real planet, that collided with the early Earth. So that chunk of Earth then coalesced or formed into what is now the moon.
And when he says early, he means early.
This time period in early solar system history would have been in the first few hundred million years, which sounds like a long time, but relative to the 4.5 billion year history of our solar system, it's in the very early stages. So if you imagine that 4.5 billion years compressed into a 5-day work week, you can think of this happening on Monday morning before the sun rises.
And despite all the stuff that was still floating around back then, this sort of event, such a big crash, planet into planet, rare. And then to keep the moon, to rope it in with our gravity, this needed to be almost head on. So basically what I'm saying is, we got really lucky. You want evidence for this? Collision theory? Look at what's in the moon rocks. The elements in those, they look really familiar to what we have here.
It's like a fingerprint, or almost like a, you know, a genetic imprint. It's like looking at the DNA of the planet and saying that, wow, hey, that matches Earth's DNA.
We'll get some more on the moon rocks later, but right now, more on what the moon does for us, or what it has done for us.
Yeah, so the moon's influence is huge on Earth. It continues to be huge. And that influence was even stronger in the early history of Earth, when the moon was closer.
Mm-hmm. It hung out for a while, close, really big in the sky. Then it kept moving back. And actually, it's still moving. Little bit, just a tiny bit, like centimeters each year.
Basically, the length of the day on Earth is actually getting longer as the moon recedes. So a billion years ago, the length of a day on Earth might have been only 20 hours. Now we have a 24-hour day.
Yeah, here's the thing. The fact that it is where it is now, that it's been in that general area for a long time, it gives us the clock that we're on. The moon also has a stabilizing effect on us because of the push and pull. There's the whole gravitational force thing going on.
That's right. Yeah. So the dominant climate cycles that our planet goes through are referred to as the Milankovitch cycles. And this has to do with the wobble of the Earth and changes in its orbit around the sun. And those wobbles cause the ice ages on Earth. But all things considered, those wobbles are small, and they're kept small by the presence of our moon.
So if we didn't have the moon, if we had more of that wobble, your example is Mars.
Mars doesn't have a large moon, and so its wobbles are much more extreme. And Mars goes through these extraordinary climate swings that would devastate life as we know it on Earth. very wide-ranging freeze-thaw cycles, would cause mass extinctions on Earth. So the moon really does stabilize our climate over long timescales.
So there's that. The moon makes this an easier place to live. But also, way back in the before times, it also might have helped to encourage life. And here's why. If you knew something about the moon going into this, you probably knew that it affects the tides.
And the tides themselves probably played an important role in the development of life on Earth. You know, the rise and fall of the tides is a rhythm that animal species use for their reproduction.
Yeah, some of those guys, they use high tide to get onto or closer to land. They leave the eggs there, they jump back in the water.
And so early land organisms might have colonized the land in a similar way by using those tidal cycles to make their first, you know, forays onto the dry land.
I'm going to step off the land now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Figured it was a good time for that one. You know, the famous one. Now, for the question on a bunch of message boards out there, if we went to the moon, why can't we see the moon stuff? So why can't we see the moon stuff?
So we do have pictures of all the hardware on the lunar surface. You can go to the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter camera website, LROC, L-R-O-C. You'll see these wonderful photographs of the lunar surface, including the lunar landers, and you can see the tracks that the astronauts left as they did their traverses on the lunar surface. Now, the best resolution we have from those images is still, you know, a few feet across. And so you can't, you know, see the stars and stripes on the flag or anything like that, but you can definitely see the hardware.
Back to the moon rocks now, because they did bring back a lot of these, yeah?
Yeah, many kilograms, many, many pounds. So those samples are still sitting in laboratories across the United States and around the world.
Thing is, though, through the 60s and 70s, a lot of them were altered or even destroyed when they were studied. But
interestingly, there were some samples that were kept pristine. They were kept sealed in their containers as they originally arrived back on Earth. And so recently, NASA has started a program to open those pristine samples. So there are researchers here at the University of Colorado and around the U.S. now analyzing pristine samples from the moon using today's sophisticated laboratory equipment.
I love that. We have fresh moon rocks. And how's that for like foresight?
You know, it's pretty exciting. I had a colleague from the University of Hawaii at Johnson Space Center when they were unsealing these samples for the first time. And there was a noticeable smell, like an aroma, faintly like gunpowder. And this was something that the Apollo astronauts said, too, that when they took off their spacesuits back in the capsule, they noticed the smell of gunpowder. And there's no atmosphere on the moon to interact with the rocks. And so they have all these active surfaces that interact with our nasal glands, basically, and produce that smell. Once that happens, it's over. So you can only smell it once, and then the sort of dangling bonds get deactivated. So very few people have smelled that. I have not myself, and I'd like to at some point in the future.
Moon smell. I never thought of that. I'll leave you with some Apollo 17 sound. It's our last trip. I like this one because it's hard up there on the moon. You know, gravity, big spacesuit, it's all different. One of them has trouble getting the rocks, falls over, then tries to scoop everything back into the bag.
No, dadgummit.
Nobody says that anymore.
Hey, Jim, would you go over and help Twinkle Toes, please?
Twinkle Toes. Thanks, Mission Control. Thanks to you for listening. Send me more questions. I've got questions at odyssey.com. And we'll do this again next Thursday.
Here I am, folks, in the middle of a boulder field, just minding my own business.